Welcome to Conversations from the Filling Station. Our mission is to equip and empower the people of God and see his kingdom enlarged through his presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this message will inspire and equip you in your faith. You will find previous conversations at thefillingstation.org/podcasts and in all your favorite podcast platforms.
Well, hello there. It's our next conversations moment, and Helly, Simon, and I are just delighted to be here. Today's topic is heaven. What is heaven like? How do we relate to it? So we're going to be looking at everything to do with heavenly bodies. And first of all, Helly's going to just share a couple of scriptures to us about this topic of heaven.
Yeah, I just wanted to start us off by reading John's Revelations, chapter 21. This is what John saw. So he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He'll dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who's seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And I just love that description.
Isn't that good? Yeah, amazing.
We could just leave it there.
Yeah.
But then there was talk of us singing some songs about heaven, but we will spare you all.
Well, our favourite tracks then.
Yeah, our favourite tracks mentioning heaven, even if they're completely wrong.
Yeah, like simply read.
But that description, isn't that amazing, guys? I mean, yeah. I just love that.
The thing that really is hearing that again, Helly, and I've read it several times, of course, but hearing that again, the thing that struck me is actually how tangible it is. Heaven is tangible. It's not like a sort of fluffy place where we're all ghosts or whatever, and there's no matter to it. You know, the new heaven merges with earth, and it's all things new. It's changed, but it is a very tangible thing. That's something that strikes me just now.
Yeah.
And so we will continue our existence in heaven, because I think some people just think there is almost like a, you know, they just have no idea of what happens when we die. We have this, you know, there's this general concept in the world of heaven. And it's the, as you said, like the fluffy white clouds, you know, playing harps on with angels and things like that. Or even odd views where people think that we become angels or something like that. But, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything like that. It talks about us being united with Christ and being in a paradise-like place. And something for us to look forward to, you know, in our faith. There is a hope of eternal life, of dwelling with the Lord in the kind of heaven and earth kind of that joining together kind of state. We realize there's a whole lot of theology around that, which we're not going to go into today.
Yeah, that's a different topic. Yeah. Which, well, right, this idea of the... Sorry, Helly. Yep.
I know, I was just going to say it's amazing. You know, there's no more pain and no sickness and... just the hope of it is amazing.
And no opportunity to sin. So the things, the temptations that come to us, that's all been removed. We don't have that. And our fallen nature from the beginning of time, which so debilitates us and creates problems, that's, we have a new nature. So the thing is completely changed. We don't have the possibility of sinning, of choosing to buy into that, which I, for me, that sounds like a really good deal. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
But that's the whole thing, isn't it? You know, thinking of like a new nature, it's like we get new bodies, which I think I know for some people, obviously, if you have a disability or you've suffered sickness while you are on earth, you know, that's something, that's a major hope to think, you know, I mean, I am able-bodied, but you get people, you know, you've got some who haven't been able to walk. And so the thought of a new resurrection body is such a hope for people. Actually, I can walk, I can run, and it seems to imply that we'll be able to do those things when we are in that kind of eternal state, when we are in that heavenly place.
I had an experience that with my own dear mother who died some years ago, but she was very badly racked with arthritis all really for the last 20 years of her life. And I mean, she was a lovely, kind of forgiving, gracious woman. But and she always had faith. This is a good example to me of, you know, we are saved by faith, not necessarily by knowledge or understanding. But it was only in her latter years, through my brother and myself, really, we started reading scripture to her, talking to her about eternal things and the character of God and so on. And that bit where we talked about in the new dispensation in heaven, you'll have a new body. I remember her saying, oh, does that mean I can run again? You know, and she won't be debilitated by the limitations of her physical body as it was. And to her, it was just a really exciting new option. She didn't know that. She did not know that she was going to be given a new body when she died and went to heaven.
But isn't that kind of, I think throughout the body, so many people just don't have that as a, in their kind of concept. They don't really, you know, I don't hear many messages on a Sunday or sermons about heaven. And even when you look up books, you know, if you were to, you know, I like reading, and there's not many books on heaven. There's lots of books about eschatology, you know, like the end times, everything to do with that. But I've only actually got one book on heaven by Randy Alcorn, which is actually quite good. But there aren't really, I don't have many things out there. So we really do need to get our heads around, okay, what is heaven like? Because this is where we're going, the heaven coming to earth state. Because I know some people get upset, but it's not just up in the sky, but it's this heaven coming to earth. But what is this place like? You know, and I think the Bible does give us some clues, particularly that scripture which Helly read out to begin with.
Mm. Yeah, and I like that. One of the other verses that came to mind when I was thinking about us talking about this was just the thief on the cross who says to Jesus, well, Jesus says to him, sorry, you know, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I just think the utter grace and relief for that man of knowing, like, I'm screwed up here, but actually, even today, I'll be in paradise with God. Yeah. Back in that Revelation passage that John wrote from his vision, it's just amazing about, you know, that we will be with God, completely with God, and he'll be with us.
Isn't that an amazing hope? And I think Paul expresses that hope in the book of Philippians. He said, for me to be with you is great, but for me to die is gain. Kind of, you know, he had a really good understanding of the heavenly realities of being united with Christ. You know, he talks about being seated with him in heavenly places, and he had a really good revelation of that. I don't think this is something I think God wants us to think about more, that we have a hope which is beyond the natural realm around us, which is failing and fading and ultimately falling apart.
Yeah, it's true. And one aspect of that which I love is where it says in scripture that we will know him as we ourselves are fully known. The Lord knows us in our details and loves us. It loves every detail about our lives. But then somehow we will have full revelation of the character of God and his view of us and who, you know, how the whole thing works, I guess. And that's another promise of what we can expect to experience when we get to heaven.
Mm. Yeah, no, I love that we are fully known. And I find great encouragement with that. That whatever's going on, we are fully known. And that's kind of echoed again, isn't it, through that's in 1 Corinthians 13, but Psalm 139 is the same thing, isn't it, that he knows us, which I find incredibly comforting.
Yeah. Mm. Have you ever heard that expression, too heavenly minded, no earthly good? It used to be drummed into me when I was younger. And I sort of think it's the opposite, or maybe a kind of a build on the opposite, that actually if we're not heavenly minded, if we're not heavenly minded, we're no earthly good, because we want, you know, what would life look like if you had nothing to look forward to at the end? Or the belief that karma somehow comes and gets you, you get what you deserve. Whereas because we're under grace, we don't get what we deserve. There's an open invitation to take up our entrance offer to be with God forever. And it's good news, isn't it? Like that, you know, it says, you know, I go ahead to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. Yeah. I've got ahead for you. And that sense of knowing that you're going to a prepared place full of hope, no pain, no sickness, no death. The old has gone, the new has come. And if you don't have that in mind, I mean, there's no way of kind of measuring the mental health effects of believing that there'll be a good ending. But I'm sure there must be something that happens. Obviously in our spirits, something happens, but to our souls and to our brains, if we think the end is bad or we have to go again or we're going to go nowhere, how does that affect a life lived now? And, you know, when the Lord's Prayer says, you know, on earth as it is in heaven, I thought, wow, it's not even that we all pop our cogs and go to glory and are forever with Jesus. We actually get to have these glimpses now of heaven as well.
Yeah. I think that's a really good thing to think about, you know, that we get glimpses of heaven now, particularly in the Lord's Prayer, where, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, and I often apply that certainly to healing. In heaven, there is no sickness. Therefore, I have confidence to pray. I understand not everyone gets healed and there are some challenges around that, but I still have faith to pray for healing, because in heaven there is no sickness. And so there is a bit of a down payment, isn't there, now, of heaven that we can experience, and certainly we can release into people's lives and we can walk in, which I think part of that is, you know, just I think the fruit of the Spirit kind of demonstrates that the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. You know, people can experience that when they come into Christian faith, and hopefully in our gatherings and when we meet together, there will be a felt experiential moment of his presence where it's like a touch of heaven comes, you know. And I realize that's probably outside of some people's boxes of thinking, but I think that's actually what God wants for us.
And it's really an eternal perspective, isn't it, when the Word of God says he puts eternity into the hearts of man, like to live with a sense of being connected with the eternity of heaven. That's quite something to get your brain around, isn't it?
So Belinda Carlisle's theology is not, there we go, off the ball, where she says, you know, heaven is a place on earth in the church, and it can be. I'm reading a really book at the moment, which you may have heard of, by this guy. It's the Burke, unfortunate name, Imagine Heaven. And he's a Christian church leader in America now, but he started this about 15 years ago, and he did a study of 1,500 near-death experiences, as they're called, which is basically places where somebody's died and they've actually had an encounter with the Lord. And from all sorts of backgrounds, cultures, believers, non-believers, and it's fascinating how all their stories, these 1,500 stories in great depth, he did the survey, so much of them, they all conform, really, with the same experiences, which are invariably that they meet a man in white, penetrating eyes, tremendously peaceful, real sense of love and joy, his presence. They get overwhelmed with love. And this person knows everything about them and loves them. And they have an interaction with Jesus. Some of them know it's Jesus if they've been brought up in any kind of church environment, Christian environment. Others, even Hindus, don't necessarily if they've actually had an encounter with Jesus. It's fascinating, a fascinating read. And because the consistency and the fact that it confirms the scripture all the way through. And that's where he's actually very good in his book, because he says, well, this experience by X number of people, this is what the Bible says. This is what it looks like. This is what Jesus said. This is what we've been talking about just now, what heaven looks like. You know? Your faith rises just by reading that, of people who had this kind of first-hand experience of death and come back. In fact, I was just sharing who I came on the call here with Simon and Helly about a really extraordinary experience I had when I was a curate in London many years ago. We went off with the elder generation. I was the young, fresh-faced curate. We went off for a bus trip down to the South Coast. And I sat next to a lovely lady, who's called Annette, who was in her 80s. And halfway along on the trip, she said to Richard, said to me, Richard, you do know that I died? I sort of go, no. And she's very evidently there. I thought, I must have misheard that one. He said, oh, yes, I died in a church service. Well, many of you may feel you die in church services, but anyway, she actually did die in this church service. And weirdly, it was a healing service, can you believe? Anyway, she had a heart attack or whatever and died, and she was dead 45 minutes, and there were doctors in the congregation. They said, she's gone. And they got the ambulance round, and of course, they put her in the ambulance, and they were And literally, the ambulance guys were debating as to whether she goes to the morgue or just the A&E. And then she sat up bolt upright in the back of the ambulance after terrified them, apparently. And she was back. And in that 45 minutes when she was away, she met the Lord. Now, she was a Christian already, this lady. But she had actually, in her case, she also had bad arthritis. And the Lord's interaction with her, he said to her, he touched her somehow in her spirit. And she felt this wonderful peace. And her body just felt really sort of strong and fresh. And he said to her, when are you going to have to go back? When you go back, you're going to, if you forgive your husband who divorced her, she'd had a very bad divorce apparently. She said, the Lord said to me, I need to forgive my husband, my former husband. He said, when that happens, you will experience this peace and this love permanently in your body and all your arthritis will go. So she came back and she did a few weeks later, went and saw her minister there, the guy had been trying to do the healing service, had a prayer chat with him, and she confessed and she sort of forgave her husband for all the mean stuff he'd done. And sure enough, she said, the next 2 weeks, all the arthritis in her body is washed away. It's disappeared. And she showed me, she said, look at my hands, Richard, look at my hands. They're really flexible and young, you know, young person's hands. But the thing, I'm going to finish the story, but the thing that really struck me about this lady was that she had a wistfulness about heaven, because she'd seen it. Even for a short time, she'd been there. And she said it was beautiful and it was peaceful and joyful and there was light and ease. And it was every best natural sense, writ large, that God loves me and is with me. And she, you know, she knew there were other people there. She didn't really have much interaction with them, but she knew there were others then. This relationship is there. And she wistfully talked about it. And I could see the dear lady, she was wanting to be back there in heaven, which I might say is where she is now, because she has died.
I do think something happens, doesn't it? People have near-death experiences, or, you know, even just on a natural level, having a car crash, not necessarily even seeing heaven, but it's sometimes the motivation to suddenly think, what's next? What happens when our earthly bodies have gone? What happens to us? What, you know, and start to think about our own human mortality. I remember as a teenager, listening, we had a guy come to visit our church, Ian McCormack, who was, they call him the jellyfish man, that he was hung to death by a box jellyfish. I think he was diving off the coast of Mauritius, dead for 15 to 20 minutes in the morgue. So had a vision of God, wasn't a Christian at the time. And some friends of mine actually who go to my church now, they ended up helping run a church with him in London in the end. But he, it was an absolute turnaround moment having this vision in death and then being, you know, coming back to life and knowing he'd met God. I mean, I wasn't there, so I can't comment on it, but it was enough to turn his life completely around.
I mean, I've heard him speak, and when you hear him, I heard a couple of times even, he just carries, there is, you know, he's been there.
Yeah,
you know, it's like he's not, you know, there is no kind of sham around that. He's accounted the Lord. And I think,
oh my God,
I think it's worth thinking about even like the frailty of life and actually really considering, well, what happens when I die? Am I assured that I'm going to heaven to be with the Lord? And actually, I think just, you know, hearing these stories about what heaven is like and just people's encounters with the Lord, you know, just reminds me in my faith of, I have a security in knowing the Lord knows me, and a security knowing that, you know, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that there is, do you have an eternal hope? I didn't catch the name of the book you mentioned, Richard. Could you mention it again?
Sorry, I'll do it again. It's called Imagine Heaven. There we go. And by this guy called John Burke. You can get it through Eden Publishing and the other bookshops and things. Actually, I think in Amazon as well. There you go. Great. Well, a good read, encouraging read. So I agree with you, Sam. That's the thing. You know, we as Christians, it's based on our destiny and our future is based on the character of God and his faithfulness and goodness. Mm-hmm. And it's a legal thing. Once we've come to him and confessed our sins and asked him to be Savior and Lord, he takes us on. His Spirit is with us. And that spirit is going to take us and protect us through death and get us prepared for this new body and this new place, this new location of heaven, where we're going to live for eternity. That's the thing, it's eternal. And that's the other thing, when I think about heaven, I think about, well, how does that work? Because we understand the linear thing, you know, today and tomorrow and the weeks ahead. And then we die, we get old and die physically. With time, it is eternal. In human terms, it goes on forever and ever. There's no ending to it. And again, going back to my lady who had her encounter in heaven with Jesus, she felt she was there for quite a long time, but her natural body was only out of it for 45 minutes. But she felt she'd been there for days almost. So there was something, again, a shift somehow in the timeline with both being here and there at the same moment. Fascinating.
Well, it's interesting, even like I was just thinking of, as you were talking about that, Paul, the Apostle Paul talks about his encounters with God in the in heaven. But he says, he's not permitted to talk about that. And, you know, the whole passage is kind of talking particularly about, you know, the thorn in his flesh, which people debate, and God giving him grace. But he, you know, let's not forget the preceding kind of verses. We're actually talking about Paul had, he encountered the Lord. He had a heavenly encounter. So this is not kind of extra biblical stuff. This is like, we have it throughout scripture. Heavenly encounters where heaven invades earth, where we're seeing interactions from our flesh, you know, into the fleshly realm and the natural realm from the supernatural.
Yeah.
And, you know, I find that exciting. You know, God wants to break into our situation, our circumstances, and give us a real kind of revelation of heavenly places that we are. You know, things I often meditate on. See, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places.
I love the thought of Jesus coming back to take us to be with him as well, where it says, you know, that same passage about when I go ahead and prepare a place for you, it says, and I'll come back and take you to be where I am. It's just that sort of relentless pursuit on the part of Jesus for us to be with him forever and to come home to him, you know, that sort of sense of him beckoning us, or, you know, come home, be at home with me. But then eventually, eternally, starting from now, even in your earthly existence, I've got you a home.
Yeah. Which I think is just a helpful security, isn't it?
Yeah, citizens of heaven we are. We're not citizens of this earth.
Yes.
Citizens of heaven.
I'm just reminded as you were mentioning that of Smith Wigglesworth's wife, who, for those of you not familiar, Smith Wigglesworth, kind of Pentecostal minister who saw loads of people healed and set free and delivered. And his wife died and he prayed for her to come back to life. And she comes back to life, but she's actually, maybe cross is the wrong word, but she's stern with him.
You messed up.
Yeah, basically she said, you took me out of paradise. It was like a beautiful place. You wanted to stay there, you know, and I mean, let's not investigate the theology of that too much. But that's, it is a beautiful place. Heaven is a beautiful place. And he wants to give us hope of actually that's our home, you know, ultimately. I was reading this is a book a number of years ago now. I see my little book recommendation, if you can see that. There you go. Faith to Face with Jesus. Which talks about this, Muslim girl who she basically gets blown up in some terrorist bomb in her country, and she doesn't mention the country in the book, but she has an encounter with Jesus, you know, and it was like she was face to face with God. Her whole life is transformed, and, you know, starts preaching the gospel in this kind of closed Muslim nation. And, you know, and I hadn't read the book you've recommended, Richard, but I'm imagining there's lots of encounters people have with the Lord and these heavenly encounters which change our whole perspective. And it's like we realize the frailty of life. And actually, you know, there is more than the material realm around us. And I think that's actually what God wants to, you know, show in people's understanding as they're listening to this, that we have the material realm around us, but there is more. There is a spiritual realm. There is a heaven. And actually, heaven is ultimately our home with the Lord, and he wants to stir up that hope within us.
Yeah. I just want to read this scripture, Colossians 3. It just says, since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. And then it talks about, you know, allow those things to die off that have died with Jesus. Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? That sort of being held captive inside Christ, held in him, found in him, hidden in him. You know, him wanting us to have our eyes focused. I mean, heaven is often described as up. I'm not sure whether it is physically up, but it's like things above. Like you're saying, Simon, like roll our eyes off the things of this earth into, you know, set everything in the context of eternity and being hidden and found in Christ.
Well, I do think, you know, that phrase you mentioned earlier, I think, you know, the heavenly, to heavenly minded for any earthly use. Actually, you know, as you said, no, we do need to be, I would agree with you, we need to be more heavenly minded to be.
So we're earthly.
Well, we're earth, you know, useful here on earth. And he wants to shift our perspective. Not that we're just living in kind of an ethereal way all the time, but we have a healthy understanding of heavenly realities, a healthy understanding of ultimately that's our destination.
I agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the things from church history is if you look at the denominations, like Puritans, you get a very bad rap now, but if you look at different denominations that have been most aware of eternity and heaven and the destination, those denominations have been actually some of the best quality Christians and the most effective in dealing with the poor and preaching the gospel and having a healthy community, because they know the destination. They knew in the sense that this is only 75, 85 years, however many we've got. This is very short in comparison to eternity. And the Lord's character of eternity, of heaven, is this. So let's bring that onto the earth. Like you were saying right at the beginning, that's actually, we need to have more of an understanding of heaven. It wants to be effective, holy, godly Christians on the earth.
Yeah, definitely. Really.
Very good chat. Very interesting.
Would someone like to pray then as we come to an end?
Pleasure.
Go for it, Richard.
Pray for it.
Yes, Father, thank you so much that, as the scripture says, you put eternity in the hearts of men and women. And Lord, I pray for all of us and any of us watching this tonight, for you today, whatever watching it, I pray that that would become an increased reality. Holy Spirit, you might go out through this simple broadcast and encourage everybody who's a believer about where their destiny is, where our future lies, which is with you in paradise, as Jesus promised. And Lord, I pray as a result of that, we would live with joy and confidence in a different way here and now. Thank you that you have saved us and you've called us. And as Ellie says, that you're going to take us home and you are going to have us with you for eternity. Bless you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Conversations from the Filling Station. If you'd like to partner with us in seeing the kingdom of God released, you have the opportunity to give at thefillingstation.org/donate. Have a blessed day.